Okay, so we're going to try to learn the next major sugya in Kufiyot. We're obviously not going to do justice to it in this one shiur, so at least the beginnings of the sugya of Sveik Sveika. So what I want to try to do is at least introduce Sveik Sveika, just to get a little bit of an understanding of what Sveik Sveika is about, and some possible nafkamina in Sveik Sveika. And then after today's shiur, so I wanted to give you guys chazara next week, then we'll try to have the bechina on Efes Taroves, right after Shavuos, and we'll figure out exactly which day that'll be. And then after that, I want to go to Bishul Akhlam and Tfilas Kehav and that kind of stuff. If by some chance we have some time left at the end of the year, so maybe we'll go back a little bit to some of the Klali Sveik Sveik. That's going to depend on the calendar. Okay? So let's please start a little bit just to get the ABCs of Sveik Sveik. So the principle of Sveik Sveik appears in two different places in Shas, and it seems to be really two different contexts entirely. One is the Sugya in Maseches Ksubas, Testament Aleph, mentioned the other day. The Gemara talks about if you have a woman and we're trying to be done whether she's an Eish Zish Zinsa or not. So there are two things that could potentially save it for her. Number one is maybe she was an Eish Zish altogether. Maybe there's no satin before she was married. And number two, maybe she was an Ensa, which again, unless she's an Eish Zish, so that's going to be, of course, a fact that's going to be working in her favor. So we don't really know. So the Gemara says in Ksuba Saftas that if you have both of those fakers together, so then she's okay. If you have only one suffix, so then that's a problem. Sveikah derais l'chumah. But if you're both sveikahs, shema tachtav shemena tachtav, shema tachtav shema ben shem beratzon, sveikah must have sveik sveikah, and that's going to be mutar. So that's one application of sveik sveikah. Then you have a totally different sugya that speaks about sveik sveikah in a few places, Bachman, Zara, where the Gemara talks about what we call sveik sveikah's derech taroves. Namely, you have some davar also gets mixed into a taroves, and it's not batel. Whatever reason it's not batel for a chasher of beria, whatever the cheshbon is, it's not going to be batel. And then you have one of the things out of that taroves ends up leaving the taroves, and now I want to know, is that going to pose a problem in a second tarov? Is that going to pose a second around time problem? What's the shayla? So we're not sure, first of all, whether the draw the taroves in her head. It's a double taroves. So we're not sure whether the Dover Osir, the real Dover Osir, the original Dover Osir, actually made it into the second taroves. And even from Saloma that it made it into the second taroves, who says when I take out something out of the second taroves that punk was the Dover Osir? So you have a few factors working in my favor. So it's a suffix whether it made into the whether it's the one that left the first taroves in the first place. And then there's another suffix that maybe the one that I'm taking is not even that one to start with. So the Gemara also uses the phrase sveik sveik. So clearly this is a different type of a sveik sveik. This is what the Rishonim used the phrase is, that the first kind of a sveik sveik is a sveik sveik of a guf. Namely, there is no taroves here. We're just being done. Is this us or is it mutter? We have two different factors to be mutter. The second kind of a sveik sveik is you have multiple taroves that are happening. So you have two factors to believe that maybe by the time you're getting around to eating something, there's a double chance that it's not the original one that was also. That's a different kind of a sveik sveik. We already spoke a little bit about on Sunday. What if you start to mix and match? What if you have a suffix echad beguf, suffix echad taroves? So we said that was a big question. Whether that's a good sveik sveik altogether. And even according to those who say that suffix echad beguf, suffix echad taroves is no good, we weren't exactly sure why that's no good. So we also touched on that a little bit. So again, so you have two different parshas of sveik sveik. The Rishonim have a machlokes about just how powerful sveik sveik does. Can sveik sveik really address a problem on a level of deraisa? So there is a mechudish dekashita of the Ra'ah. But the Ra'ah maintains in Bedek Abayis that the whole idea of Sveik Sveika really doesn't exist on a level of Deraisa. There's no Mokhon Shas that Sveik Sveika is going to change anything on a level of Deraisa. Why is that? We have two Gemaras that talk about Sveik Sveika. So the second Gemara is easy, says the Ra'ah. The second Gemara is only addressing a problem with the Ravon. Mid Deraisa, there was never a problem altogether, because Mid Deraisa Chal Betrei Botel. Any potential problem that exists in terms of Opus Taroves is all chumas derabanan of berias and bali chayim and chikulis kabeis. Those are all mid derabanan. So you don't have to use sveik sveik to solve any problem there. Alright, what about the Gemara Ksubas and Daftas? The Gemara talks about sveik sveik and the iser of eishes ishes zinsa. And there we're clearly talking about that's an iser deraisa. Eishes ishes mazanas, that's an iser alav, an essay. A little bit about Yevamas. Ksubas this year, right? Iser v'nitmal, or yukul achver shetama. That's for sure an iser deraisa. And the other Gemara is using Sveik Sveika. So the Ra'ah says, on the level of the Araisa, it's not so terrible anyway. Because on the level of the Araisa, if you have a suffix and she's a Zinsa, so she's Muteris anyway. Why is she Muteris? Because she has a what? She has a But the cheskes out there means every woman you get married, so it's understood that your wife is muteris to you until something goes wrong. So now you have a latest asafik whether your wife is mizan or not. So midaraisi you can shlof chazaka, you can rely on the chazaka. So therefore says there are midaraisi said there was never palm of test anyway. It was only a chumah midrabban, but you're not supposed to rely on chazaka. So they got to be the chumah midrabban of not relying on chazaka. So that chazaka will willing to make it when you have a sfeik sfeika. So in two fell swoops, as Raj just said, that there's nothing to worry about. That none of these sugyas that evoke sfeik sfeik are really problems that arise anyway. Chazaka, of course, is deraisa. Yeah, chazaka makes vada.
The one they talked
about, that is the vada. Oh, chazaka is vada. Chazaka is deraisa. So in two fell swoops, the Raj says that we don't have any mokra in the Gemara anywhere that sfeik sfeik should solve any potential problem on the love of deraisa. So the overwhelming majority of the Rishonim did not accept this Ra'ah. The overwhelming majority of the Rishonim assumed that Sveik Sveika does work even on the level of Derais, even though he's right that the Sveik Sveika of Derech Tarobas is not a Derais. That's for sure not a Derais. The Derais is Batu Barov, Chad Betray. But the case of Ksubas Taftes is most probably a Din Deraisa. Because if you have a Sufik, whether your wife was Mizan or not, so that is a potential Sufik Deraisa. What's the potential Sufik Deraisa? I would happen to Chazacha. So you may have what we call a clash in Chazachas, because the case of Ksubas Daftes, the guy's bringing his wife to Beis Din, and he's declaring Pesach Pesuch Batzasi. So he's saying that he doesn't know whether she was Mizana before the Erisin or after the Erisin. So now, you thought that the principle of Chazach is going to help you, because she has a Cheskes Heter, so the Cheskes Heter is going to solve the problem with the Raisa, but connected the Cheskes Heter, there's another Chazach that's getting her into trouble. What's the Chazach? The Chazach is that she was a Basula until proven otherwise. She was born as a Basula. So she's a basula, basula, basula. Chazaka bekar means that you assume that any change that happened at the last possible moment. Chazaka actually means two different things in the Torah. It means if you're not sure whether a change happened, so you assume the change probably didn't happen. And even if you know that the change did happen, you have a right to assume that it happened at the latest possible moment. That's the first Mishnah Maseches Nida, where the Mishnah says that midaraisa kol anoshim dayin shaitan, that here the woman last week was not bleeding. 3 days ago wasn't bleeding. Yesterday wasn't bleeding. Now all of a sudden you find that she is bleeding. So you want to know at what point did she start to bleed? When did she get her period? So the Mishnah says that midarais, everybody agrees, that you can assume that minatora, she got her period at the latest possible moment, and you don't have to ask him anything. You don't have to tell me anything, lemafreya. Then midarabanan, the Tanoim had a big machlokes. Sham and Hillel had a big fight about should we institute a din derabanan called meis liyeis and mifkid lepkid. That's the whole first Mishnah Maseches Nida. But midar, and that Mishnah is only talking about vis-a-vis kachim, and maybe truma, maybe, but it's not talking about chulin. We've got a regular chulin, so then about everyone agrees that din derais to kol noshim dayin shaitan. What's that based on? What's that Mishnah based on? It's based on chazaka. What do you mean it's based on chazaka? But we know that she's bleeding. We know she has a period now. So the Teretz says, yeah, it's true. We know she has a period now, but we still have a right to rely on chazaka to say that the period happened at the last possible moment. So too over here, that when the husband comes and says Pesach Patzuch Matzasi, so we know that she's not a basul anymore. But the question is, we don't know when this change of basul happened. Did it happen 5 years ago before she had kedushin, or did it happen 3 days ago when she was ready to kedushin? So Hilchas Chazakas point in the direction that it probably happened at the last possible moment. So she was a basula until the last possible moment. That's going to pose a problem for us, because the last possible moment, she's an Eshazish, she's ready post-Kedushin. So if you follow Chazaka, that's going to point you in the direction of being Machvir. So now you have a steer in Chazakas. So you have in the realm of Cheskes Heter, so then she has a Cheskes Heter, so Chazaka is working for her. In the realm of the Cheskes Aguf, so the Chazaka of Dina Basul is working against her. So when you have a clash of Chazakas, it's quite possible that the solution to that is that the Chazakas disappear. Once the Chazakas disappear, then you're back to square one. Then you have a problem with Derais, and I have a Sufik Deraisa. Sufik Deraisa has to go to Chumra, and the Gemara still discovers Sveik Sveik. So Zemin Fendo, you see from here that Sveik Sveik works even to be Mata Deraisa. So where's the Ra'ah? Look at the Gemara Ksubas and says, no, there's no Derais here anyway. Chazaka saves you. Other Rishonim weren't so sure that Chazaka saves you. So we're going to work with the assumption of most of the Rishonim that Sveik Sveik really does work on the love of Deraisa. The question is, what's it based on? Well, based on who, what, where? The Gemara Ksubas Daftas just throws it at us and never explains what the mocha for Sveik Sveik is. So Yadua, that there's a major machloikis in the Rishonim, has been embellished upon by the Acharonim, as the two fundamentally different approaches to how Sveik Sveik works. So one of them is related to the famous machloikis in the Ram and the Rashba about how Sveik Deraisa L'chumah works in the first place. So there are Mishnayos that speak about Sveika Deraisa L'chumra, but the Rambam has this famous comment in Hilchos Avos Atumos, where the Rambam writes that all the dinim of Sveika L'chumra, the whole parsha, Hakol Mikol of Sveika L'chumra, is all L'chumra Midirabbanan. Midiraisa, everything is Mutta. All Sveika Samutta Midatayra, the whole thing is all Midirabbanan. If that's the case, if the Rambam is right, that all Sveikas are only awesome at the Rabbanan, so then the group of Acharonim, from the Gadim to Yeshua and other Gedolei Acharonim, said that maybe that's the secret why Sveika works. Because according to the Rambam, every time you have a Sveikas, what you really have is a Sufik Rabban Lakula, because the first Sufik that presents itself, so what do you do? So on the level of the Araisa, it's Mutter. But on the level of the Rabbanan, it's Aser. Now when the second Sufik presents itself, so now I have a Sufik whether I have that first Isser in the first place. So since I just got finished saying a minute ago that first Isser was only an Isser mid the Rabbanon, because mid the Raisa, the first Suffolk was paskened up Lakula mid the Raisa, it was only paskened Lakula mid the Rabbanon. So now when I have the second Suffolk, so now I have a Suffolk the Rabbanon Lakula in my hand. So that's what many Achmanim write, that according to the Rambam, this klal of Sveik Sveika being Lakula is really just a corollary of the principle of Sveika the Raisa being Lakula mid the Raisa. It is the same klal. Sveik Sveika Lakula is another application of this principle. Sveik Sveika Lakula. Right? There is no independent klal. There's no similar Sveik Sveika. It's a part of the same parasha. Sveik Sveika Lakula. So that's again. The Rambam himself doesn't say this explicitly. The Rambam does say explicitly that Sveik is a book in the Torah. They're only asked the Rabbanan. But to say that that's the source of Sveik Sveika, that's not in the Rambam. But this is a yadua. Many Gedolei Acharonim say this. So it's not surprising. What's the Mishnah is like that? The Gemara is like that. What's the source? Chazal said it. That's the source. They made the Dindra Rabbanan, so they made up the Sefer Rabbanan Lekula. Yeah, you're asking the Rambam's cash against the Rabbam. Why isn't every Sefer Rabbanan a Sefer Deraisa of Los Salsa? Is that what you want to know? You don't want to know that.
No.
Okay, if you don't want to know, I'm not going to answer you. Okay. Chazal instituted it that way. It's the Mishnah is that say that. That's Sefer Rabbanan Lekula. Okay, so Hey Mom, they instituted the Dindra Rabbanan. They said that Sveik is the Lekula. Okay. Is it Bitter Bad, Bitter Sufik? That's a big question, but Lemaisa, that's true. So if that's the beer Dover and Sveik Sveika, it is obvious that there are going to be Rishonim who are not going to buy into this beer, because there are Rishonim who are going to stop this beer before it gets to first base. The Rishonim will disagree with the Rambam's whole theory about Sveikas only being awesome with the Rabbanan. So the first and foremost Rishon that disagrees with the Rambam, of course, is the Rashba. The Rashba has a lot to say about this Rambam, and the Rambam, yeah, the first Mech Kedushin has a lot to say about this Rambam, where they are pretty convinced that the Rambam is not correct. Why? What was so convincing? What made us so sure that the Rambam is not correct? So a lot of the discussion revolves around the Gemara at the end of Masechet Kedushin, the fourth Mech Kedushin, where the Gemara says that min HaTorah, Suffolk Mamzer is Mutter. If you have a person, you're not sure they're Mamzer or not, so Midaraisa, they're permitted to get married. The Gemara seems to say that that's a special Gzeres HaKosov. It says, well, Yova Mamzer B'Kel Hashem, HaDrosh HaGzeres HaKosov, Mamzer V'Adud Lo Yavoy, HaMamzer Suffolk Yavo. So come to Rishonim and ask, again, according to the Rambam, who says that all Sveikas are Mutter Minatorah, what do you need a Pasuk to tell me that Suffolk Mamzer is Mutter? Typically that all Sveik is a Mutter. If the starting point according to the Rambam is Sufik Shabbos is Mutter and Sufik Chaz is Mutter, Sufik, everything is Mutter, all Sveik is. So what's the Chiddush of Sufik Mamzer? So forget for the fact that the Gemara needed a special apostle to tell me that Sufik Mamzer is Mutter, it sounds like Lule, that exerts the cost of all Sveik would have been also even on the level of Deraisa. So how would the Rambam react to this? So there are two fundamentally different ways to how the Rambam would deal with this objection of the Rishonim. So one is, as appears in the Rashba in the fourth Berachot Kedushin, Rambam refers it to a Tshuva Rambam that I don't think we have any idea where it is, but the Rambam, and this is an authentic Tshuva, that the Rambam apparently said that Gemara was actually his Mokhor. That the Rambam says that for the fact the Torah says that Suffolk Mamzer is Mutter, so that's from here we learn out. That's the Mokhor Gufa, that all Sveikas are Mutter. So whereas all the other Rishonim were assuming that Suffolk Mamzer is the exception to the rule, and that's a riot against the Rambam, the Rambam said, forget. Here and I said, it says, that from the fact that it's a din of Sufik Mamzer, that's good for the Mokka that all Sveikas are Mutter Min HaTorah. This is a very, very difficult Tshuvas HaRambam because it doesn't seem to fit at all into the Gemara, because the Gemara in the fourth Berachot Kedushin goes on to ask that if it's true that Sufik Mamzer is Mutter Min HaTorah, so why does the Mishnah say that Sveikas and Mamzeris are also Shtuki, Asufi? Why does the Mishnah record the beginning of the fourth paragraph of Kedusha, that Suffolk Mountains is in fact Osir Midirabanan. So Gemara works and works and works and finally says, Mal Osir Biyuchsin. But the reason why they ask at Suffolk Mountains, even though Minatar it's Mutar, is just to protect, to preserve the special level of Yichus in Klal Yisrael. If the Rambam is right that Suffolk Mamzer being Mutter is the same as Suffolk Shabbos being Mutter, the same as Suffolk Chaz, the same as all other Sfeikis, so why don't the Gemara just say that the same Issa Derabbanan that they made, that Suffolk Derais is the Chubam Midirabbanan, that's the reason why Suffolk Mamzer is also Asa Midirabbanan. The Gemara goes fishing and discovers a brand new Chumar Midirabbanan. The brand new Chumar is Mail Asa Biyuchsin. According to the Rambam, it's the same Sugi as all other Sfeikis. So this seems to point in the direction that the sugya and about Suffolk Mamzer has nothing to do with other Sveikas. Other Sveikas, Avada Rasa Midaraisa. There's no Shayada Rasa Midaraisa. It's just that Suffolk Mamzer is a Gzeris HaKosov. So that's what the Gemara is asking, that if there's a Taka Gzeris HaKosov, the Torah itself was Mater Suffolk Mamzer, so what are we making Yisurim for? Based on what? For what? Where? Suffolk Chaz is Taka Osim Midatera. Suffolk Shabbos is Osim Midatera. Why did they ask us something Mamzer? The Torah says it's Mutas. That's what the Gemara discovered in America, Ma'al also the Yuchsin. So that's the Pashas in that Gemara, is that Gemara is not a Raya for the Rambam. Halavai, it shouldn't be a cash against the Rambam. But to say it's a Raya for the Rambam is very, very hard to believe. So how would the Rambam read that Gemara? If Lamai said the Gemara quotes a passage that something Mamzer is Mutter. So this started a whole story of the Gedolei Acharonim, from Prichodesh to Peyeshuas to Sheh Shmaisas. Everyone's getting into the app to try to figure out how the Rambam would read that Gemara, assuming that the Rambam is not authentic. Assuming that the Rambam did not see that Gemara as a Raya, how can you defend that Gemara as not being a Kasha? So the answer is that even though the Rambam holds that Sveikas are Mutter, sometimes the Rambam agrees that certain Sveikas are Osir. When a certain Sveikas Osir? So let's say you have a Rov Liyasir. So even the Rambam would concede that if you have a Rov against you, would be a problem. Or let's say there's a Chazok against you. So even the Rambam would concede that's a problem. Or let's say you have a Takta Disasra. You want to be making on two things at the same, two Sveikas at the same time, which contradict each other. Even the Rambam would agree those are Osir. So it could be that that's what the Torah meant when it said Suffolk Mamzer is Mutter. Suffolk Mamzer is Mutter means it's Mutter Lagamre. When it is a Rov, there's a Chazok, there's a Takta, no matter what it is, all Sveikas and Uchas Mamzeris go Lakula on a love of their Aisa. So it could be that even according to the Rambam, the din of Suffolk Mamzer being Mutter Min HaTorah is not the same as Sveikas and Uchas Lakula Min HaTorah. Sveikas and Uchas Lakula Min HaTorah means when you have nothing else to go on. You have no Rov, no Chazok, no other way of indicating what to do. So then you're allowed to eat the Chaz, you're allowed to do the Melach on Shabbos. But when it comes to Suffolk Mamzer, even though you have other external indications, it's still Mutter, that's good for the Gzeris HaKosov of Suffolk Mamzer. Fine. So at the end of the day, the Rambam can potentially be a defendant. But Ava Bichain, many of the Rishayim disagree with the Rambam. So the Rashba and the Ran strongly disagree with the Rambam. And the Rashba says, no, it's not true, that all Sveikas are in fact Osir Midaraisa. So according to the Rashba, that all Sveikas are Osir Midaraisa, so then where did Sveika come from? So it's obviously not based on the Rambam's Cheshvin or the Achram's Cheshvin with Dasa Rambam. It must be based on something else. So what is it based on? So the Rashba in a Tshuva tells you what he thinks it's based on. It's based on the principle of Rov. So the Rashba is this famous line in a Tshuva. Where is it? Shinid Allah? I forgot already. Where's the Tshuva? Rashba. Famous Tshuva to Rashba. The Rashba says he thinks that Sveik is based on Rov. What's based on Rov? What does that have to do with Rov? So what do we always call this? The blackboard row, right? The blackboard row. You draw four possibilities. There are four logical possibilities. That's in the case of the Eishes Ish and Daf Tes, right? So we're not sure exactly what happened. There are four logical possibilities. Either she was Mezana Beratzon Tachas Baila, or she was Mezana Beratzon Shalot Tachas Baila. Either she was Nensa Tachas Baila, or she was Nensa Shalot Tachas Baila. Those are the only two factors. So you combine them together, there are four logical possibilities. So how many of those possibilities point in the direction of being Mutter? So if it was Shalot Tachas Baila Beratzon, she's Muteris. It was Shalot Tachas Baila Be'onas, she's Muteris. It was Tachas Baila Be'onas, she's Muteris. If it was Tachas Baila Beratzon, then she's Asura. So you have four logical possibilities, four squares on the blackboard. Three out of the four point will have there. One square points the Yisr. That's called a Rav. That's a tremendous Chiddush that the Rashba is saying, because those numbers don't have no correlation to reality. We have no idea what the statistics are. We have no idea how many women are Mezana Beratzon and how many Mezana Beratzon. We don't know what her standards are. We don't know what happened. But we have four logical possibilities. Three out of the four point in the direction of Heter. That's okay. That's considered to be a Rov in Halacha. That's a tremendous Chiddush. But the Rashba had to say that, because if he wouldn't have said that, then he would have no beer whatsoever for Sveik Sveika, because the Rambam's beer for Sveik Sveika obviously wasn't an option. So when all the dust settles, we have a machlokes presenting now, machlokes in the Ram and the Rashba. Why is fake sveka mutter? We have, again, there's assuming the Ra'ah is not right. According to the Ra'ah, there's no such thing as fake sveka with the Ra'isa. The Tarovus is the Rabbanan, and the Cheskes Isha is going to save you with the Ra'isa. So according to the Ra'ah, there's no such thing as fake sveka with the Ra'isa. But according to everybody else that there is, we're just not sure what it's based on. Is it based on sveik the Rabbanan Lakula, or is it based on a Ra'ah? Might not be Dina. At the end of the day, it's going to work anyway. Except according to the Ra'ah, so why do we care what it's based on? So the Chora, we do care, because according to the Achrom's Zbiyah B'dasa Rambam, that it's predicated on Sveik Sveika, it's only going to be as good. It's predicated on Sveik Darban Lakula. It's only going to be as good as Sveik Darban Lakula is. Or to say it even clearer, it's only going to be as good as Sveika Deraisa Lakula Bideraisa is. Because according to the Rambam, everything is hinging upon the fact that the first Sufik was Paskin Bideraisa Lakula. That has to be. If you can't pass in that first suffix, Lakula Bideraisa, then the whole Sveik Sveika unravels. So does the Rambam really hold that all Sveikas, the Rambam is a Lashon of a Satumas, all Sveikas are Amutta Bideraisa? Is that really true? Every single case for suffix is Mutta Bideraisa? So you have to go back to the Rambam and analyze that Rambam and see, is it really true that all Sveikas are Mutta Bideraisa? If I can find you a case where a suffix is not Mutta Bideraisa, that's going to prevent us from applying the principle of Sveik Sveika. Why should we think that there are some limitations even to the Shittas of Rambam? So there is another very, very famous kash that the Rashba also uses to adapt the Rambam. How in the world can you tell me that Sveik is a Mutta Midaraisa? You're against a Pasuk in Chumash. What's the Pasuk in Chumash? Oshem Toloi. It's a Pasuk in Pashas Vikra. And the Torah says that if you went ahead, if you eat a piece of Chelev, at the time you ate it, you had no idea. You weren't paying attention. You were shaking. You forgot. You didn't know about Chelev. The time you ate it, you wouldn't know, and then you find out afterwards that you vada ate a piece of chelev. So of course you have to bring a carbon chatas. What if you find out afterwards that you ate it, but you're not even sure that you ate it, because it's only a suffix whether you ate chelev? So then the Torah is a special parash. You bring a carbon ashram toloi, and the ashram toloi is a funny kind of a carbon. You bring it, and it holds you over till now. If and when you find out that it really was a chatas, then you have to bring a chatas. And if you never find out, then the ashram toloi protected you from whatever onus was coming to you. So it's brought for a type of aveira that the vados would bring a chatas. It's only a sofik, then they bring an ashram toloi. So comes the Rashi and asks the Rambam, what do you mean the Torah gives you a mitzvah bring a korban for eating a sofik chelev? If you would have asked Moshe Rabbeinu, he would have passed me, you're allowed to eat it. There's nothing wrong with eating the sofik chelev. Because you, the Rambam, Moshe. You, the Rambam, you're Paskin like Moshe Rabbeinu. Amid the rice, you're allowed to eat it. So if you're allowed to eat it anyway, so what are you bringing a korban for? I ate it by mistake. What is my mistake? You should have asked the Shaila. He would have told it's mutter anyway. So what's the answer to that problem? So there are two very, very different answers to how the Rambam would deal with this dilemma. So one way of dealing with this dilemma is to say that when the Rambam says that Isurim Midaraisa, all Sveikas Amutar, the Rambam only said that by Isurei Lavim, he never said it by Isurei Kares. But Isurei Kares is not shy to say such a thing, because Isurei Kares, that's the Parashat Ashram Toloi. So the Parashat of Ashram Toloi teaches me that by Isurei Kares, the Svara of Sveik Deraisa Lekulim Midaraisa breaks down. That's exactly what the Chiddush HaTorah is. So when the Rambam says, "Bechol dini atayra," all the dini doesn't even mean "bechol dini atayra." He means in all the Isurei Lavim, not in the Isurei Kares. So if you look at the Lashon Rambam and Hilchos Avos Atumos, it doesn't sound that way exactly. But there is an alternate Gerson Rambam. There are two in the Franco Rambam. I think they put the new Gerson in with brackets. So if you read the Rambam in a certain way, so then the Rambam says it's beferish. If you read the Rambam the other way, then the Rambam doesn't say anything like this. So that's a question in terms of yourselves in the Rambam. So according to this approach in the Rambam, that even the Rambam puts the brakes on Sveik Deraisa, Lekulma Deraisa, it doesn't apply to Isurei Kares, so that's going to lead us to reevaluate the whole institution of Sveik Sveika in the realm of Isurei Kares. Because if you have a Shail of Kares, you have a Shail of Chometz of Pesach, a Shail of Chelev, a Shail of Yom Kippur, some kind of an Isurei Kares, and now I want to Paskin Lekula based on Sveik Sveika, according to the Rambam, that's not going to fly. Because if the Rambam Shita really is that Sveika Deraisa Lekula Midaraisa is only by Isurei Lav, not by Isurei Kares, so then there's no way Sveik Sveika is going to apply. What's the Lamed Tzadik? Why should anybody say such a thing? Why should you conceptually say that the Torah asserted Sveikas Midaraisa by Kares and not by other things, besides the fact that it's a Pasuk? Why would anybody say that? So some Achronim have this idea that conceptually Isurei Lav and Isurei Kares are different from one another. That there is a famous question that we should have discussed. about whether Isurei Torah or Isurei Gava or Isurei Chefza. So it could be maybe there's a split. Maybe Isurei Lavim or only Isurei Gavra, and maybe Isurei Kares or Isurei Chefza, which would explain away, you know, philosophically would explain away why you bring a carbon. Why do you bring a carbon? If I did an Aveira, Bishayig, I didn't mean to do it. So what am I bringing a carbon for? So the answer is, I know you didn't mean to do it, but at the end of the day, you have poison. If a guy eats poison and he goes to the emergency room and they say, we got to pump your stomach, and he says, you don't have to because it was only Bishayig, so they're not going to listen to him. So if there's something that was metabolism, if it got into your system, whether you did it on purpose or not, it's got to come out. So you need a kapara. So you have to be the kapara, the carbon is the tikkun, that's the antidote of the poison. So whether you ate the poison b'shogeg or meis, it doesn't make a difference. So you have to get a kapara. So that the fact that the Torah was only mechadish to us, the idea of bringing carbon for nevera then b'shogeg, that makes a lot of sense of isurei kares or isurei chetze. But isurei lavim, which are only isurei gavra, that means you as a gavra shouldn't do what the Rebbe Hashem said not to do. I'm sorry, chadasi, I didn't mean to do it. I wasn't aware of what I was doing, so I didn't really do anything wrong. There's no poison in my system because it's only chazer. It's not chaylev. It's only chazer. What's the big deal? So therefore, there's no reason to get a kapara. So some achrenim write that that's why when it comes to sveikus, which should you say sveikus al chumah b'derais or not? It depends. If you're dealing with something which is intrinsically bad, it's a poison. So you can't eat suffering poison. If the whole issur is not intrinsically bad, it's just that you as a gavra shouldn't rebel against the Rebbe Shalom. I'm not rebelling against the Rebbe Shalom. I think it's mutter. 50-50 chance says that it's mutter. I'm not doing anything. I would go against the Dvar Hashem. I'm not violating the Dvar Hashem. I'm banking on the fact that it's probably mutter anyway. So again, that would be a whole, you know, halachic, hashkafic understanding of the Shita. But there is such a possibility with Dasaram. There is such a gears with Dasaram and Hukhuzam Satumas that the Surei Kores would be Svekas Lechumra even a love of Deraisa. If that is true, so then obviously the whole application of Svek will break down in the realm of Isurei Kares. That would be a tremendous chumra, according to this view in the Rambam, that you can never pask any Svekas on Isurei Kares. Obviously, according to the Rashba, that wouldn't be true. According to the Rashba, it's based on Rov. So Rambam Hafiz, Rov, use Rov in all areas of Halacha. There's all limitations on Rov. So that would be one interesting nafkamim. What's the din tachna? Do we have any mocha to say that we should or should not paskin Sveik Sveikas in Uchaz Kares? So if you look at all the Klali Sveik Sveikas, I don't think it's there. You look at all of them, right? Everyone's well ready. Okay, so I don't think anyone discusses that in your Deir Chalik Aleph. Where's the mochar for Sveik Sveika by Isurei Kares? Your day, Chalik Beis, in Uchaz Nida. Lou, where's the Sveik Sveika? Who remembers? Famous Sveik Sveika of the Ramah, in Uchaz Nida. Adamaka, yeah. The Ramah, in the middle of a Sugya, the Kufi Zion, about the Damaka, so the Ramah throws at you a Sveik Sveika. It's a suffix, whether it's a Makam Mutidam or not, and even if it is, maybe it's been a Mokum, and it's not a whole Chagadia. So the Ramah says that you have a right to be Makal based on Sveik Sveika. So some of the Chavarim write, Sveik Sveika. Who says you can use Sveik Sveika with Isurei Kares? Vishte, you can use Sveik Sveika with Isurei Kares. So the answer is Vishte. The Rashba says it's true. And according to what we said, according to the Rambam, it may or may not be true. According to the Rambam, it can only be true according to the Rambam if the Rambam holds that Isurei Kares are also Sveikas Lakula. How could the Rambam say that? How would the Rambam answer up the Ashim Toli dilemma? So the answer is that there's another answer to the Ashim Toli dilemma. That's what most of the Achronim say, that the correct answer to the Rambam's Ashim Toli dilemma is not based on Kares versus Lavim. It's based on a different story, Lagamri. When the Rambam says that all Sveikas are mutam in a Torah, that means when you have a Safek, that there's no Ikva Isura. It means I have no idea whether there's Asur or Mutter. I have a piece of meat in front of me. I have one piece of meat. I have no idea. Is it Asur or Mutter? 50-50 chance I'm allowed to be Mako. What if I have two pieces of meat in front of me and I know for a fact one's Asur, one's a Mutter? So even the Rambam would agree I'm not allowed to eat one of the pieces of meat. I have no right to say 50-50 chance that it's Mutter because once I know there's a Dover Asur there, that's called Igva Isur. That's what the Gemara says in Krisos, that is Machlekes Amarayim, Chagzat Hanayim really, about the case of Hashem Toli in the Torah is that what we call Chaticha Achas or Beis Chatichas. According to one opinion, where the Rambam happens to Paskin, you only chayav to bring in Hashem Toli if you had two pieces in front of you, one was kosher, one was treif. If I'm mistaken, you ate one of them. If it was just Chaticha Achas, you wouldn't have to bring in Hashem Toli. Why not? So the Rambam explains to you. You wouldn't, the Zechorim said, the Rambam would explain to you, because if it's only Chaticha Achas, then it would have been Mutter. If you would have asked Moshe Ben, it would have been Mutter. Only because it's Beis Chatichas, that it would have been Asur in the first place. So if you go with that beer in the Rambam, so then the distinction between Karis and Lavim was artificial. The whole distinction falls by the wayside. So Sveik Sveikas will be Mutabaisir Karis as well. So we have a lot of things flying around. What should I take be on Sveik Sveikas and Isir Karis? According to the Rashi of Shua the Mutter, according to the Rambam, maybe the Mutter, depending what the Rambam holds about Sveikas. Do we have any Mokum besides the Ramah? Any Mokum anywhere in Rishonim about Sveik Sveikas by Isir Karis? So there's a Tosis in Barakama, Dafir Aleph. Talks about it. Remember the Sugya of Shilya? What? The Gemara has some wild kind of a fake fake in the Sugyas of Shilya, whether a woman is a Yaledes and part of the Shilya comes out, and today, tomorrow, a whole Chagat is trying to figure out which day she's up to. So the Gemara seems to say that if it would only be a Safek, it would be a problem. Now that it's a Sveik Sveika, everything seems to be okay. The Gemara never uses the term Sveik Sveika, but some of the Rishonim stick it in that Sugya. So Taiz has a famous kasha in Baba Kama Dafir Alf Manal. It's kasha? They need a shadow. What Taiz is famous kasha? The Gemara says if it's a Suffolk Echad, it's awesome. If it's a Sveik Sveika, so it seems to be Mutter. So Taiz says, Baruchas Nidas Tumah V'Tahara. And Tumah V'Tahara, we don't follow the rules of Sveik Sveika. What are the rules we follow in Baruchas Tumah V'Tahara? If it's a Suffolk B'Shus HaYochid, it's always Aser. If it's a Suffolk B'Shus HaRabim, then it's always Mutter. So Taisa said, what's the Gemara make it depend on Safek Echad versus Beis Sveikas? It should depend on where she had the Riyah. Where did she have this baby? Where did she have the miscarriage? Was it Rishus HaYochad or Rishus HaRabim? So Taisa says, no. When you're passing Huchas Nida in terms of Tumas HaIsha, so then in Chanami, then you follow the rules of Rishus HaYochad, Rishus HaRabim. It says, Taisa, we're not passing Shalaz Lagabi Tumas HaIsha, we're passing Shalaz Lagabi the Issa Isha Labayla. So when you talk about the Issa Isha Labayla, that's a different area. Kuzari, right? It's a different area of Halach Lagamri. That has nothing to do with Tumah V'Tahara. That has to do with Issa V'Heter. So in Issa V'Heter, you follow the regular rules of Safek Echad L'Chumra, Sveik Sveik L'Kula. Famous Taisa tucked away the Yad Aleph and Baba Kama. So what did Taisa just say? Taisa just said that we're talking about Hilchas Nidah L'Bayla, which is obviously in the Sakaris, and we're still to be mafia based on Sveik Sveik. You see from here that the Taisa, the Ramah, you see that the classic approach is that Sveik Sveik works even for Isur HaKaris, which again either leads us to believe that the Rashba is right, that Sveik Sveik is based on Rov, or it leads us to believe that Sveik Sveik is maybe also based on the Rambam, but maybe the Rambam holds that all Sveikas are both the even Isur HaKaris. Fine. So at the end of the day, we have three different approaches to Sveik Sveik. We have the Ra'ah, who said Sveik Sveik is for all practical purposes, but Benatar don't exist. We have the Achronim, who touched up the Shittas of Rambam, that Sveik Sveik is just a corollary of Sveik HaDeraisa L'Kulam HaDeraisa. Then we have those who didn't accept that, was the Rashba, that it must be based on Rove. So there is a big discussion in Simen Kuf Yud, which is really all of this is the background, was leading up to this discussion, about whether we have a right to pass in a Sveik Sveik Shaila when you have a Dovah Sheyesh L'Matirin. So we have a lot of riots back and forth. What should the din be when you have a Sveik Sveik and Dovah Sheyesh L'Matirin? So what exactly should the Shaila depend upon? So we have to go back to the beginning. So according to the Shittas HaRambam, that all of Sveik Sveika is predicated on two assumptions. First of all, you have to assume that you have a Suffolk deraisa l'kula, and then you have to also paskin that you have a Suffolk derabana l'kula. Means the Suffolk deraisa l'kula mederaisa, and then the second Suffolk creates a Suffolk derabana l'kula. So we should already know enough from the sugis about the Dovah Sheyesh L'Matirin that the book stops here by Dovah Sheyesh L'Matirin, because Sveik derabana l'kula obviously doesn't apply. That was the Gemara in the beginning of Maseches Beitza. It took the Gemara two plot to get there, but finally Rav Ashi did finally get us there, that Sveik derabana l'kula falls by the wayside when you have a Dovah Sheyesh L'Matirin. Either that's indicative because Dovah Sheyesh L'Matirin is all based on Ashi Tochlenu, Issa Tochlenu Beheter, or even according to Ran, who has the razzle dazzle part of Dovah Sheyesh L'Matirin, it's only razzle and dazzling in Huchas Tarovas, but Huchas Sveikas, even the Ran agrees to Rash, right? Let me put this out at the time, okay? So everyone agrees that at the end of the day, there's a din that Safek Derabanan L'Kula doesn't apply to Malkum Dovah Sheyesh L'Matirin. So if you hold that Sveik Sveika is rooted ultimately in Sveik Derabanan L'Kula, you need that premise. The building blocks of Sveik Sveika are those two building blocks of Sveikas L'Kula Min HaTorah and Safek Derabanan L'Kula. So then if one of those building blocks fails, then Nafla Yisrael Nafla Binyan, then the whole Sveik Sveika is not going to apply. But if you go with the Ikvas HaRashba, that Sveik Sveika is based on Rov, it's a different story of the Gamre. So Rove, maybe it worked by Davar Shesh Matir. If we state that Rove doesn't work by Davar Shesh Matir, so maybe it would work. So you have, again, a lot of tumbling in the postgame about the possibility of applying Sveik Sveika in these kinds of cases. We have another Shiloh, which the postgame discussed, also by Richas Sim Kofiud, about Sveik Sveikas against the Chazokah. What should it then be when you have a Cheskes Isser, and I want to be mat to someone which already has a Cheskes Isser based on a Sveik Sveikas? Should that work or should that not work? So you have also contradictory rayas for that. There's a Chuvah Sarash, that same Chuvah Sarash that talks about it. Anyone saw the Shach on that? The Shach says that the whole Chuvah Sarash is all is a mistake in it, and the whole thing is fall by the wayside. It's a whole long Shach about the Chuvah Sarash. But at the end of the day, there is a big machlokes that both came about how should you review a Sveik Sveika against the Chazok. So what do you think this should depend upon, at least part of the Shaila? So the Chora is going to depend, part of it is going to depend on what you take in Sveik Sveika is. Is Sveik Sveika based on Rove, or is it based on the first approach? So take the simple part. If Sveik Sveika is basically built on Rove, so what should it then be? So does Rove work against the Chazok? What's the answer? What? Rube Chazok Rubadif. It's a machloikis between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. So Rabbi Meir's opinion was, when you have a rove against the Chazakha, so what is Rabbi Meir's famous shita? He spoke about 100 times. And you almost know what's Rabbi Meir's famous shita? Smoch miut ala Chazakha v'shil ruba. Rabbi Meir says you have to combine together the miut together with the Chazakha, and that's going to offset the rove. And the Rabbanan said, ma'apitam, miut is command the lay sedami, the miut doesn't exist, and ruba v'chazakha, ruba adif. That's a really famous machlokes that they know. So how do we paskin on that shayla? So the Pasha Dvarim is we paskin like the Rabbanan, that Ruba Chazak Ruba Adif. Except that the Rishonim in the beginning of the third Pekka Bechoros, the Tam, the Rosh, all group of Rishonim point out that it's not so simple. That it could be, even though we paskin that Ruba Chazak Ruba Adif, it could be that's on a level of the Araisa. Because in theory we paskin Ruba Chazak Ruba Adif. Maybe Lachumra we're going to paskin Ruba Chazak Ruba Adif. But to be making Ruba Chazak Ruba Adif, so a whole group of Rishonim point out that maybe we have to be machmir on that, because maybe we accept Rabbi Meir Shita, at least the Chumra, at least the Midrabana the Chumra, we accept the Smoch Mirut the Chazaka. This is part of who remembers the Sugya, the Bechiris? Remember by Rov Behemoth Cholbos, right? Rov comes in Cholbos, and in Yoldos. The first mission in the third Pekka Bechiris talks about a case. I bought an animal from a goy. And I'm trying to figure out whether this animal's ever had babies before. If it had babies before, so then any baby that's going to be born is not a Bechor. If it never had a baby before, so then the firstborn boy is going to be a Bechor. I have no idea. The guy doesn't know. He doesn't remember. He's not Neman anyway. So I have no idea. How am I going to figure it out? So it happens to be, lo and behold, that this cow that I bought from the guy happens to be in nursing. It's providing milk. All of a sudden has milk. Where in the world did it get milk from? So the Gemara says that rove animals don't provide milk unless they had a baby. It's not all the time. It's every once in a while you can have a quirk. The same quirk we had in the hormones from the first year. So you have a quirk in the hormones that a mammal can sometimes provide milk to produce milk even without necessarily having a baby. So the question is that enough for proof? So can I say with certainty that the fact that this cow is giving off milk, it must be it had a baby 6 months before, and any subsequent baby is not going to be a problem. So the Gemara calls that a rove. The question is, do we rely on that rove or not? So the Gemara seems to say, there are many who read the Gemara, that we don't really rely on that rove. Why don't we rely on that rove? So the way some Rishonim write, Rabbi Natan is quoted by saying, the reason why we don't rely on that rove is because you have a smoch mitul chazak problem. What's the chazak? The chazak is whenever an animal is born, it hasn't yet given birth yet. So this cow, for the last 6 months, didn't give birth. For the last 3 years, didn't give birth. Now we're trying to be done. Has it given birth yet? So the Chazakha points in the direction that it probably hasn't given birth, which would spell trouble for us for subsequent births. And combined with that Chazakha is the miut that every once in a while an animal could give off milk without giving birth. On the other hand, you have this very powerful rove against you, that rove behemos enum cholos enum kem yoldos. So Rabbi Natan says, so what you have in front of you is a smoch mitul Chazakha. So smoch mitul Chazakha bisal aruba. So Tosfos says, yes, but we passed it against Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Natan says, no, we passed it against Rabbi Meir midar Aisa, midar Rabbanan. We do rely on Rabbi Meir. Midar Rabbanan l'chumra, we do follow the shita of Rabbi Meir. So that's a big, big machlokes Rishonim. Is that cheshbon even correct? So going back to the story, now I want to rely on a sveik sveika against the cheskas isser. So although the Rashi may be right, that midar Aisa maybe I could do that, but I'm not so sure that Midr Rabbanan could do that. Problem number one. Problem number two, if Sveik Sveik is not even based on Rove, if you hold that blackboard Rove's and Nishkin Rove's all together, If you hold that Tzvek is based on Tzvek Deraisa, Lekulim Deraisa, the Rambam would never say that when you have a Chazak. The Rambam would only say that a Tzvek Deraisa, Lekulim Deraisa, when you have nothing to go on. I have a piece of meat, I have no rolls, I have no Chazak, there's no nothing. So then, Tzvek Deraisa, Lekulim Deraisa. But if you have a Chazak against you, so of course the Rambam would say that Chazak is going to carry the day. So then the whole Nafla Yisrael, Nafla Binyan, the whole Tzvek is going to unravel. So this is still an unresolved question. What should the din be if you have a Tzvek in a situation of a Cheskes Issa? So again, so we already have a couple of Nafkamidas flying around as to certain limitations on Uchel Tzvek. So we had Shah number one, the Tzvek is applied by Surek Kares. So according to the Rashba, absolutely yes. According to the Rambam, maybe yeah, maybe no. Then we had the Tzvek applied, but you have a demonstration by Tirin. So according to the Rashba, absolutely yes. According to the Rambam, absolutely not. What's the din when you have a Tzvek against the Cheskes Issur? So according to the Rambam, absolutely no. According to the Rashba, depend on what you think about the general robes against Chazokas. Unless you want to argue that Tzvek is better than a regular robe. So the Rashba has that line in the little Metshuva, maybe Tzvek is a little bit better than robe.
So within the Rashba, if you had a Tzvek, would it be Mutter?
Rizvekas.
If the Rub is only also be Rabbanan, if that's the Chumrah.
Okay, maybe. I don't know. There is another Shiloh that doesn't appear in Klal Tzvek Tzveika, but the Chavarim talk a lot about whether Tzvek Tzveika makes any sense at Dinei Mamonos. Let's say the Beis has no idea what to do, so we have a Suffolk of Mamon, so we always know he can't do anything. Moshe Levaraya. But now the Beis has two reasons to believe that we should be Maitzi Mamon. So can you use the principle of Tzvek Tzveika to be Maitzi Mamon? Does that make any sense? So according to the Rambam, that doesn't make any sense. Because according to the Rambam, the whole idea of Tzvek Tzveika is not a rope, not a proof of anything. Tzvek Tzveika is just it's a fancy term in Yoredeya saying that Midaraisa we solved the problem, Midarabana we have problems, and now Midarabana we don't have problems anymore. That whole structure breaks down in the realm of Mamonis. Mamonis is not Isurim. So Mamonis is like the Safek. But according to the Rashba, who says that Tzvek Tzveika is Bita'am Rov, so that opens up a whole new dimension to the Shaila. Maybe you can be Motzi Mamon based on a Tzvek Tzveika. Maybe that should depend on whether you can be Motzi Mamon based on Robana. So we all know that's a Machlokes, Rav and Shmuel. And we paskin unequivocally that what? Ain't Ochum Mamon Acharov. But not as unequivocally we thought. Because Tosfos writes in Masechet Sanhedrin Daf Gimel that, yeah, we paskin in Ochum Mamon Acharov when it's a Shvach Harov. But if it's a really good Harov, so then we paskin Papa Yes, okay, Ochum Mamon Acharov. So one could argue that maybe Tzvek Tzveika is not a better robe. Tosfos doesn't tell you what's a good robe, what's a bad robe. So the Sheh Shmaitz has this famous line where he explains that what Tosfos means like this. The two robes in the Gemara, that Ein Ochel Mamon Acharov, happen to be robes that totally bedas b'nei Adam. We're trying to figure out, did the guy mean to sell a barrel, did he mean to sell a jar? Right? The Gemara in the beginning of 3rd Perek of Bava Kama. Or the guy in the beginning of 6th Perek of Bava Basra, did he mean to sell an animal for shechita, for plowing? So we're trying to size up what in the world, cheshbon out what in the world this guy's intent was. So the Sheh Shmaitz quotes the Ramban in Kedushin, in the 2nd Perek, that says that whenever you have a robe that's totally on das b'nei Adam, here today, gone tomorrow. In New York, the minig is this way. In California, the minig is this fakir. So that's a very, very schwach kind of a rove. But when you have a real objective rove, so Tosfos claims in Sanhedrin that you talk about Maitzi Mamon based on rove. So other Rishonim don't, others don't accept that, but Tosfos in Sanhedrin writes that way. So if that's true, so that would open up the possibility to be Maitzi Mamon based on Tzvek Tzveika. Maybe that's a good enough rove to even to be Maitzi Mamon. So again, so we have a few different cases that are flying around. We're trying to, not that we're doing justice to any of these. I just want to at least lay appetite a little bit. Those who want to spend the next 6 months living close, Tzvek Tzveika. So every time you see a shy on Tzvek Tzveika by Kare, Tzvek Tzveika by Cheskes Issa, Tzvek Tzveika by Dorshish Matirin, Tzvek Tzveika by Mammon, you have to always go back to the same story. Where does Tzvek Tzveika come from altogether? Then you have a whole other series of questions about Tzvek Tzveikas, namely, what exactly constitutes a Tzvek Tzveika? The first four shadows that we just talked about were whether we can apply the principle of Tzvek Tzveika in these given with these other factors involved. Then you have a whole other area of Tzvek Tzveika. You have to ask yourself, does this meet the criteria of being a Tzvek Tzveika or not? So the Shach, and this has his close Tzvek Tzveika, we have now 50, 60 things to say about this. At the very end, the Shach says that before you decide your own Tzvek Tzveikas, make sure you meet all these 50 or 60 criteria. So we got to figure out those 50 or 60 criteria. We're not going to work at all of them now. We'll just, maybe one or two, we'll just throw them out. Just we should know that we mentioned them. So one of the big discussions in the Poskim about Klal Tzvek Tzveika is a klal that's called Tzvek Tzveika B'Shem Echad. When you have two Tzveikas, but the two Tzveikas are pretty much saying the same thing. That means it's not like the case in Ksubas Daftes. Ksubas Daftes, They're two totally different svaras lahafri. One is it was be'ines, and one is she wasn't an eshes ish. What do I do with each other? There are two reasons why she's muteris. Either because she was never an eshes ish in the first place when the bia happened, or she it was be'ines. It happens to be when those two kulas combine together, those two svekas merge together, does the svek svek. Sometimes you have a svek sveka where there are two different things you're saying, but they're not all that different. She's muteris for reason A, and then you invite the saying she's muteris for reason A. You're saying the same thing over again, just in different halachic terminology. So that's what some Rishonim coined the phrase, that's called the svek sveka b'shem echad. So Tosfos in Ksubas Daf Tes was one of the first to coin that phrase. And that sugya of Pesach Pasuach, where the Gemara says that the Gemara talks about what's called a suffik yecha, what's called a beis sveikah. The Gemara talks about a situation where you were mekabel, the father was mekabel kedushin from before she was the age of three. So before she was the age of three, any bia that happened that created a Pesach Pasuach must have happened already after the age of three. So the Gemara says that if the father was mekabel kedushin for her at the age of whatever she's older, so then it could be the bia happened before she was an eshes, could be it happened afterwards, so you have the first suffix to go on. But if the kedusha was miskabel at the age of 2 years old, or according to the Rambam in Yudra, whatever, you know, the Flesha, it was mekabel kedusha before the age of three, and now the husband's saying she's pesach pasuach, so we know for a fact that bia didn't happen before three. That couldn't have been, that wouldn't have created pesach pasuach. So it must be that she was nivela after three. So now we only have one suffix, whether it's beonis or whether it's beratzim. So Tosfos says, no, you have a svek sveka also. What's the famous svek sveka of Tosfos? It's vaita svek sveka. Why? Maybe it's what? Maybe it's beonis, maybe it's beratzon. And even in Timtzel Lomer, it was beratzon. Maybe it happened when she was what? When she was still ktana, and pita ktana einesu. If you're mezana with a little girl under the age of 12, so even though she's doing it quote-unquote willingly, so it's still considered to be api alocha ones. So Tosfos created a new svek sveka. So the Gemara says there's no svek sveka. Frek tez akasha, what happened to the new svek sveka? So Tosfos says, that's not a svek sveka, that's the same suffix. That means, is it onus or is it rotzon? Is it onus or is it rotzon? There are two ways to gauge onus and rotzon. One is to say if she's physically attacked, that's onus. And the other way of calling it onus, if she was seduced as a little girl, that's also considered to be, quote-unquote, like an onus. I didn't say for the dinim of onus of a father, that's a different story. But for the purposes of lesser isha baila, pita ktana onusu. So Tosfos says, that's not a good svek sveka. That's just saying the same story over again. Maybe she's onus, and maybe she's rotzon, and maybe she's onus. Maybe she's Ratzon. So that's just giving you more examples of Aynes. That's called just the same suffix over and over again. That's called the Chisson of Shem Echad. So there are probably Rishonim, possibly the Rambam, who don't buy into Shem Echad altogether, who don't believe in this limitation of Shem Echad. But in Klal Yisrael, in your day, we assume that Shem Echad is a problem. So that's where the Shach then goes on for 20 pages to try to explain to you when something is called Shem Echad and when it's not called Shem Echad. That's a very, very tricky part of Klal Yisrael. Then there's another klal svek sveka, which is called the svek sveka that has to be able to be mishapech. So Tosfos in Ksubas begins to discuss when you have svek svekas that if you would word the svek sveka in either direction, you would be okay. Let's say enough test. You would start off by saying maybe she was the tachtav, maybe it was in a tachtav. And in Tum Salomar, it was tachtav, maybe it was on the same baratzim. So that would be a good way of wording it. And then if you want, for a variety, you can turn it around and say, maybe it was be'onis, maybe it was beratzon. And even if it was beratzon, maybe it was enatachtav. So the svek sveka can be said logically either direction. That's called a svek sveka shechol yochol is hapech. Every once in a while, you bump into a svek sveka where you can't even say it. It means if you try to say it the other way around, you're going to put your foot in your mouth. You can't make such a statement. So that's what the Rishonim start to give you examples where the svek sveka is not possible. You can't. Once you already say one side of the suffix, you already committed yourself to undo the svek sveka. So that's a new klal. The svek sveka shen yochol is hapech is not a good svek sveka. So not everyone agrees to that either. And even if you agree to that, where did that come from? What's that based on? So these are some of the things that the Shach starts to spend a lot of time about you know, nitty gritty, which svek svekas are good svek svekas, which are not good svek svekas. Again, if we have some time till the end of June, so maybe we'll come back to some of this to see some of the possible limitations in the klal svek sveka. But again, the basic tsura svek sveka is the three sheetahs in the Rishonim, the Ra'ah that doesn't exist, the Rashba that exists b'tam rov, the Rambam's view of the Echorim, it's based on svekas. And then you have a couple of possible nafkaminas in terms of mumminas, in terms of chazochas, in terms of shmatirin, in terms of roughly at least the chorus, a couple of odds and ends, where the certain areas of halacha are neat unto svek svek. Right, so when